KG4LSL. Colin, you were very weak into the repeater and chopping pretty bad.
4LSL, 10-4ZLK.
ZLK, KG4LSL. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Jimmy, I'm doing well. I heard you in there a few minutes ago. Just wanted to say hi, but I had to wait till I could get to where it was more convenient to grab the microphone.
I'm going to assume that you're out moving around and traveling in the brown paper bag there.
The front part is brown. The rear part is the long gray one. So, that's what I'm doing.
You'll be bringing one of my memory sims to me that I ordered for my computer. I'm about to start a YouTube channel with a friend of mine, and my computer is bare bones at best, and I've only got 4 gigs of RAM, and just running my radio software on it takes up 80% of the processes for, or 80% of the memory for it, so I had to order another 4 gig SIM. So it's supposed to be here Friday. Really excited about it getting here. And then I'm going to work on getting a 1 terabyte SSD for it, just to kind of help with the video editing and photo placements and that sort of thing.
I hope it works out for you, and I wish you guys all the success in the world. I know some people do really well on there. I don't know if that would be something that I would do well at. I don't like to hear myself, let alone watch myself. So some people are not bothered by that kind of thing, though.
The channel's going to be is I don't have to do any talking or, you know, looking at a camera or anything else, because I do have the perfect face. It's going to be more of a nature typed channel here, with some meditation stuff added into it periodically, and, you know, doing a real big series of just nature, being outside. I think with COVID, there's a lot of people that just have stayed inside, and technology, they're staying inside, so if I can bring a little bit of the outside world beauty to them, maybe it'll get people out and moving about again.
You mentioned that the other day, so that sounds pretty cool. And you're in a beautiful area if you're going to be doing any filming there.
Morning here, I'm going to be filming a lot on Hartwell, so you know, I'll just travel from scenic place to scenic place on Hartwell via the boat. Would love to maybe even put in at Jocassee and Kiawee and just do some, you know, recon out there. And, of course, I'd have my fishing poles with me while I was doing the recon. Hi. You know, and then unbeknownst to me, and I have lived in Georgia my entire life except for a year in Beaufort, South Carolina. Stayed there for a year in 2000. 1999 and 2000, and just decided it wasn't the place for me at the time, and we moved back to Georgia. But it was, there are a lot of waterfalls here, all within 50 miles of Anderson, and it is just mind-blowing. There's more, I think there's more waterfalls here than there are in Georgia.
There's a lot in the woods, places that you can't even get to because there's so many. And then, you know, the next, up in North Carolina, Transylvania County, that's known as the land of waterfalls. I think there's more waterfalls there in that county than per capita than anywhere else.
LSL, yeah, I love waterfalls. That was my first photo shoot I ever did, was and it wasn't really a waterfall. It was more of a drainage ditch that had a couple of small waterfalls in it, and I was able to get some real close-ups of it, and you would think it was a massive waterfall, just, you know, playing with the camera angles a little bit. But I do also have a drone, and it's not an FCC required FCC. Lord have mercy, FAA license required drone, so it's a smaller one, but it's got a 720p camera on it that's adjustable. So between the drone, the boat, the Nikon that I have, I'll probably end up ordering a couple of knockoff GoPros because, you know, spending $600 a camera is not really my thing for those smaller of a cameras. You know, just doing stuff like that is going to become a hobby that becomes a job, I think.
I wish you well in those endeavors. And like I said, you got a beautiful area. But I gotta back up to a dock. I'm gonna lose the signal. It's against a metal building, and I lose everything, and I'm under a bunch of power lines too. So let me let you go. Good to hear you this afternoon. KG4 LSL N4ZLK.
All right, Shane. Well, be careful. I'll be kind of in and out of the radio room all day, and I'll have the 2 meter on for the rest of the day, I should say. 7-3s N4ZLK KG4 LSL. I'll be clear and listening.
The LSL station. This is W4NGU. You're still listening?
You, KG4 LSL. Good afternoon. At India, Mike Yankee. And yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Jimmy. Handle is Phil. And I'm just on Highway 11 headed back to Boiling Springs. But I was listening to you talk about your YouTube channel. What editing software are you going to use?
Not completely sure of. I've kind of been looking around at some, but haven't really looked very hard at some. I've used Movie Maker in the past, the Windows Movie Maker, just doing slideshows and that sort of stuff for church or what have you, or the Cub Scouts there.
Interested to know what you settle on. That's one of the projects, that's just one of the things I'd love to learn to do, is to make YouTube videos. Seems like every kid can do it, but I guess I can if I get involved with it.
Right. Well, Phil, what kind of videos are you interested in making?
Learn the craft. I don't know. If I had a good camera and I was set up to do it now, I've got an old car I'm trying to bring back to life, and I'd love to document that. But all I have right now is my cell phone, an iPhone. I had a nice Canon, and I decided to sell it a couple of years ago. I think it would have been pretty good for the purpose. But so nothing in particular other than the car.
There are a ton of very famous YouTubers as far as the YouTube channel goes. If you look at Vice Grip Garage, you may or may not have heard of Vice Grip, but he does a lot of resurrections, classic car resurrections. And all he uses is his phone, and I believe the software he uses is the Movie Maker.
And a guy that makes a lot of videos, he's going to make a much better one than mine, but it's not going to be of my car. So that's all I'm interested in.
Look at Vice Grip Garage's channel, and you can kind of see, if you look at his older videos up to today, you kind of get a feel of where he's pointing the camera, what he's doing with the camera, and first one thing and another. And, you know, a lot of it is camera placement. The second is narration. And, just making sure that your lighting is good. You want to make sure that, you know, you're in focus and what have you. So, you know, a lot of them will carry, if they have a GoPro or something like a GoPro, they will have like a chest mount or a head mount that they can do point of views and what have you. And you just basically take the best clips that you have, and you just insert them in the line, and you just, you know, as you get better with the editing, your line, your edit lines kind of flow a little bit better, if that makes any sense.
44, never give up. Well, it does. Gary, 44EEY, a member of the Greer Club, he does a lot of teaching on how to get your license, and he has become somewhat renowned for that. People all over the world have gotten their general or higher license looking at him, and he's got some nice cameras for the purpose, and I'm not even asking what software he uses.
There are a lot of softwares that you will pay dearly for. They're great software. This is good, and I think with, you know, with us learning, if you learn one software and you learn it very well, then I think it's you can do just as well with a free software that you could with a paid subscription software. Just curious, Phil, what kind of car have you got that you're restoring?
A 60s vintage Pontiac with 51,000 miles on it.
Do you happen to belong to a car club?
I do not.
A family friend of ours that we just lost a month or so ago. He was a huge car nut. He lived in Monroe, Georgia, or Bethlehem, Georgia. He was in Bethlehem, and he also owned a house here on Hartwell. But he had a couple of GTOs. He had an old Nomad, some old Mustangs, 57, I think a 55 or a 56 Bel Air. I mean, he had a three-car garage that had had a lift in each one of the stalls and two cars in each stall, and they all looked immaculate. I was just curious, you may have heard of him or seen him or even knew him.
Oh, him. But, yeah, there's some guys around that have some incredible. I know a guy that's got a military, two buildings of military equipment that is just pristine. Cannons and Jeeps and all kind of, it's unbelievable. He spent a lifetime collecting and refurbishing it. And I think he owns one of the largest working cannons in South Carolina, and he takes them to all the reenactments, and he is big in that stuff.
Oh, no, especially if things go south. Hi. Well, Phil, I mean, I'd be interested to see it, and I've got a friend of mine that is in Woodstock, and he has a Nova that he is tossing around the idea of selling, and I'm trying to maybe see if I can buy it from him. It's a 74 Nova, and he bought it brand new off the showroom floor, but it was one of the Spirit of America editions. And this car's got 225,000 miles on it, and he put every single mile that's on it, but it hasn't run in probably 20 years. And, you know, it's one of those things that I know for a fact he's not going to do anything with the car, because, you know, he's had plenty of opportunities, he just hasn't done it. And it's sitting in his basement, and he's getting ready to move, so I'm trying to buy it off of him if he would sell it to me.
Try to snap it up, because cars of that vintage are about the only ones you can restore anymore. Case in point, I yesterday. Tried to buy some side view mirrors for this car that I'm driving. It's a 1999, and they're no longer available. I'm going to have to try to find something from the junkyard or something. I ran it through a car wash, and it destroyed the motors and really did a number on it. And went to the dealership on Lawrence Road yesterday, and you can't get them. If you could, they would be $1,400, but they can't get them, so your money's no good.
What, if you don't mind me asking, what car is it? If you can give me the particulars on the car, I might be able to see if I can locate you something.
C230 compressor, Mercedes, 99. And the outside housings are not messed up, but apparently a lot of it comes as a module, so you got to get the mirror and the motor and all that kind of crap. And but it's just gotten crazy. I mean, I also had lost one of the fobs, and bought another one yesterday, and the stinking thing was $410, and I was told I was lucky to get it. Well, what if you had a vintage car and you wanted to restore it, but you couldn't start the stinking thing? I mean, it's just, you got to get the old stuff so you can find parts. Isn't that the dichotomy?
400 for a fob. Ouch. Well, that's, you know, that's just about like anything. Nowadays, all the parts are going up that you can get. And then a lot of them are just sitting on the side of the or out in the ocean waiting to be brought in. It's unreal. I've got I drive a 2017 Chevrolet pickup, and it was involved in an accident, which is the accident that disabled me. And even with the accident, it's worth almost $10,000 more than what I paid for the truck when it was 6 months old.
Nuts. Going back to the fob, well, this guy's just stopping in the road in front of me. We're doing 35. Interesting. I hope I don't get hit from the back with everybody passing me. There are two places in Spartanburg, at least, that I know of, that have thriving businesses reprogramming fobs and getting them for people that, you know, don't want to pay for the dealership thing. And both of them said, we'd love to help you, but you're not going to get any help except at the dealership. Said, for guys like me, I can't get software to reprogram anything before 2001. And he said, you'll be lucky if the dealer can get you one. Well, good golly, the car's not, 23 years old? I mean, that's old for a car in one way, but, you know, it's getting critical to whether you can even keep it on the road. You're going to have to buy another one.
The way they're doing with the gasoline thing, and it's all by plan. So, you know, they, well, it's all being done intentionally, and you know, anybody who tries to tell me any different, well, you know, I wouldn't believe them, because you know, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, the writing's right all over the wall, and it's being done completely on purpose, and they are trying to drive us out of driving gasoline powered vehicles and pushing the electric stuff. So, but yeah, what do I know?
Right. And our president just went to Saudi Arabia and said, hey, how about you guys pumping more gas so you can sell it to us rather than us finishing our pipeline? Don't understand that. I'm kind of on both sides of the electric thing, Jimmy. I've got some friends with electric cars, and I'd love to have one. I got on the trailer trying to build one 20 years ago, and it just wasn't feasible back then, unless you're just a complete machine shop guy, and I'm not. But I know you got to dig up 400 tons of dirt to get the stuff for one lithium battery. I know all that. And but one thing I think people miss about the electric cars probably is just as big a footprint from conception to driving to its death. I've seen those studies too. Prager Institute did one in gas versus electric. And so I know the argument, but I think what people miss is when you drive an electric car, if you properly dispose of the battery, then nothing gets in the environment. Now, I'm not a big environmentalist, but I'm just saying, I don't care how good a filters and converters and everything you put on a gas engine, it's going to put some undesirable things in the atmosphere when it drives. That's just the way it's going to be. But an electric, if you dispose of that battery properly, you're not going to have that problem. So that's the one difference I think people miss.
It is. You know, there's a lot of differences here. And, you know, I think they're on the right track, and their minds are in the right, or their hearts are in the right place. Do I think we're ready for it now? No, nowhere near ready for it now. Our power grid won't even handle all the charging stations that it would require if they were to just ban gasoline engines right now. And diesel engines. The batteries, I don't know if there is really a whole lot of recyclability out of the lithium ion. I haven't done a whole lot of research, to be honest with you. The battery cost, though, to replace the batteries, and they only last, from what I've heard, is about 10 years. So in 10 years, if you want to keep your car and just replace the battery, well, the battery cells are going to cost more, as much, if not more, than just buying a new car. So, you know, I think there's going to be a problem there as well. And I don't know if you've looked on eBay, but there are a few mirrors assemblies on eBay for your vehicle, looks like, for about $250 for the set, and it looks like they're off of a salvage vehicle.
Jimmy, somebody's in my driveway. I don't know, and I don't know what he's doing.
Stand by, KG4 LSO.
Let's have a circle drive, Jimmy, and I'll never have another one. Of course, I inherited this one, but people just think they can stop in it or turn around or do whatever they want anytime they want.
Thing that's gotten bad here in America lately is, especially the newer generations are not being taught how to respect somebody else's property. And if it ain't yours, leave it alone. and they're not being, a lot of them are not being taught respect for the law. And I'm not going to say all of them or cover them all under a blanket because, you know, I have three kids and I have diligently raise them to be respectful of other people's property and be mindful of their actions when it comes to adversely affecting other people. And, you know, just trying to teach them some morals and respect.
Well, I don't get too upset about it. I live on Highway 9. It's kind of a commercial district, and people walk through my yard by the thousands, literally. And when they have the Christmas parade, they park all over my yard, aimed at the road, and I'm going. And sometimes they're in my driveway, and I come up to the window and say, "Pardon me, this is my driveway. How about getting out of here?" but I let them park on the yard. I've got two lots here, and it's just, you know, I hate to be Scrooge, but it's amazing. They don't ask. They just line up, pull their bumpers right up to the edge of the road so they can see the parade every stinking year.
If you were to stick signs up in between the property line to property line and take some marking paint out there and put $20 per lot and just stand out there in an apron and a hat collecting money, I bet it would be empty.
Moved here, I walked out in the den one Saturday morning, and I wasn't, you know, I was by myself. I wasn't fully clothed, and I heard voices, and my neck snapped around. I looked at the front yard, and there are 300 people in my front yard, and I go, oh, it's a parade.
Wow. I know that's got to be a shock. Man, and the noise that comes from a parade, and the trash that, you know, the candy wrappers and such that get thrown out and just get trampled on the ground, and the drink cups and trash from the people sitting around. Yeah, that's a nightmare. Luckily, all the parades that I was involved in, I was usually sitting behind the wheel of a fire truck, and that was my main job, was just drive the truck through the parade.
Thinking I got to run. There are advantages. For whatever reason, all these people walking through the yard, I don't know if they're drunk or if they want to contribute to me. I cannot tell you when I've been mowing how many $20 bills, how many $10 bills. I have a whole collection of beautiful knives of all kinds, some of them in cases, just laying in the yard. And I'll take a picture of it. I wish I had kept all of them over the years. I kept the money for a while, and then finally just spent it. I guess when you reach in your pocket, a bill pops out, you don't realize it. Okay, I get that. But how do you lose a knife in a nice case with a belt on it? So I just say, keep on losing them, boys. And hats. And some of the hats are good. I wash them and use them to mow grass in. It's just absolutely bizarre.
Goodness gracious. The knife thing, I don't know if I want to know the answer to that one of how they lose them. But wow, that is awesome. Well, Phil, if you would like to get a hold of me, my email address is on QRZ. And send me an email, and we can talk videos and what have you, and I can share with you my experiences that I've had with different softwares and doing all that, and we can just kind of swap ideas around, and I may even be able to bring my Nikon up. I've got a Nikon D6000, I think, or a D5000. It's a digital SLR that records in high definition, so it's a phenomenal camera, and it's got stereo microphone and all of that on it that I'm going to be using. So maybe we can shoot one of the car and doing some stuff with the car and see where it goes from there. So I'll let you run, and like I said, my email address is on QRZ. W4NGU, it's been a pleasure talking to you, sir, and a pleasure meeting you. KG4LSL.
LSL, W4NGU. Jimmy, I got it. I got it. Let's do a documentary on the stuff left in my yard.
Up there.
And name it, things don't... In the documentary, things don't fall up.
There you go. Somebody's pulled in my driveway that I've been waiting on, guys. I got to run. W4, never give up. Clear.